quite normal people, just with different passions.
I love you. I think you love me. But every time I touch you, you turn off. Now, what is it?
A beautiful child woman driven by uncontrollable passions to reject the love of a devoted husband. A woman cursed with a secret too terrible to reveal. Doomed to love only the dead.
You're driving down a desolate highway. You turn off onto a lonely dirt road. After a long distance, you see your destination. A one-room shack. It looks old and deserted. But from it, you hear weird sounds. Something draws you closer. Do you dare open the door and step inside? Do you dare enter the haunted shack? And now your host for Haunted Shack Theater, Uncle Yaya. Hey, yes, my creeps, come on in, come on in, come on into the Haunted Shack. You're listening to Haunted Shack Theater, episode number 7. Wow, this thing is really just trucking along. I never thought I'd make it past 3. Show for you today. Yes, for the month of February. In February, that's a St. Valentine's Day. And to me, that means some people think of love and holding hands, and I think of sex. Yeah, I think of getting sexy. So we're going to have a real sexy show today. This is going to be as sexy as Uncle Yaya gets. Well, I get pretty damn sexy. Let's get to the sex show. Warmed up, I brought my girlfriend over here. Okay, hold on to me. Okay, bringing my girlfriend in here. Okay, let me get this thing open. Okay, hold on. Whoa. The gag reflex when you get these boxes open, and I haven't been. Woo! Damn, she's good. Oh, I got my girlfriend with me. Her name's Maria Alchoa. Carbon monoxide poisoning, suicide. She also put a shotgun in her mouth and blew off part of her head. But the morticians did a real good job here with the mortician's buddy. Ooh, she looks pretty good. Come here, Maria Alchoa. You look real nice. You get that aroma, baby. I'm gonna take you off and we're gonna watch a movie. We're gonna watch a double feature. Watch two movies today. The first one is a real sick little movie, but it's great. I'd rather Uncle Yo-Yo's alley. I love this kind of thing. This is called Love Me Deadly with, it's about a girl who's just beautiful. She looks like a Playboy model. She wants to go out and have herself some sex. Only she's got one little hang-up. She don't like guys that have a heartbeat. The second movie here is called Terror at Orgy Castle from 1971. It's about a couple of swingers who go to a swinging castle. They never made it in the castle. Only in the castle, what they pick out to make it in is a haunted, spooky castle. All right, folks, so let's get started on our first movie. I got Maria here. I put her in the bed next to me. We got the TV all set up. How you doing? You comfortable in there, baby? Yeah. Come here. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, we're going to watch a movie. This thing's going to get us in the mood. I'm already in the mood, if you know what I mean. This one's called Love Me Deadly. Love Me Deadly. Okay, this is a film that deals with you like sex, so you're just like everybody else, only the little twitches, you just don't like it with people who are alive, or some people have a big problem with it. Me, I'm probably like, hell, whatever, whatever. Alright, our movie opens up on this close-up of just this beautiful knockout blonde, man. She looks like she walks straight out of the pages of Playboy magazine. Hell, she could walk right off the centerfold page. She's that beautiful. But she's in her morning outfit. So she's got a black hat on and a black robe and a veil. And she's sitting there, and we pan back, and she's at a funeral. And everyone's sitting there, and they're all somber. But she's fidgeting around. You can tell she's got something else on her mind. Let's listen in.
The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, support, strengthen, and comfort the bereaved who have been stricken with sorrow and weariness.
The crowd starts to disperse, and Lindsay, our woman in black, waits in the back, and she waits till everybody goes up and gets a good viewing of the body, and she waits till the chapel's almost completely empty, and then she gets up, and she kind of puts her hand on her chest, almost like she's feeling herself up, and she's got a nice little grin on her face, and she walks up to the casket. Something for a guy named Martin Robert Tamblyn, age 36, and the beloved son of blah blah blah. So she circles that, and she goes, that looks like a good prospect for some fun. So now Lindsay shows up at another funeral. Only this time, when she walks through the door, that mortician that in the pre-credit sequence was looking through the curtains at her, this time he notices her. And now his interest is really piqued. He's like, who is this girl? I just saw her making out with a body a couple weeks ago. And this is a kind of a creepy fella here. So there's no dialogue in a lot of these scenes. So, I'm just got to explain to you what's going on. So he's watching Lindsay, and Lindsay's watching the funeral. And as everybody disperses, just like our first opening sequence, she comes walking up to the body, and now she lifts back her veil, and she's got a big smile on her face, and she's going to start making out with the body again. Only now, the creepy mortician pops out from behind the curtain and catches her.
Beautiful, isn't he?
Lindsay's totally startled, and now she runs out of the chapel, and the mortician starts following behind her. And he just calmly walks up to her. He's trying to play it cool while she's fumbling to find her car keys, and he just calmly just walks up to her real cool-like.
The family limousine is full. May I ride with you?
No. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to the cemetery.
So she finally gets her car keys and starts opening up her car, and the mortician just opens up the passenger door, jumps in shotgun.
Don't you understand? I said I'm not going.
I believe I do understand. I
recognized you from the Baxter funeral on the 7th, I couldn't help but notice your affection for the deceased.
You must be mistaken. I know no one named Baxter. Please, I don't want to be rude.
The word is necrophilia.
Turn on your lights. Follow that car.
So they start to follow the funeral procession.
You're upset. Don't be. We're quite normal people, just with different passions. Our drives and needs aren't understood by many people. So we have to keep them secret. You're not alone. In our group, we have several members who participate, who enjoy together.
And they pull up to the cemetery, and she parks the car.
I can notify you if you care to join us.
So as soon as the mortician steps out of the car, she starts it up and just peels off out of there. And meanwhile, he pulls out a little notepad and he's writing down all the information because he was peeking at her registration the whole time he was in the car. So he writes down all her name and address. Night, and it's the mortician, and he's driving around in his car, and he's cruising around Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, and he comes up to a gay movie theater, and there's some homosexual male prostitutes hanging out in front of the theater, and he goes up to them because he's looking for a prostitute.
How you doing, big boy?
Sorry, you're really not my type.
Well, up yours, Mary.
Hi.
The mortician has his eyes on another fella, and he waves that fella over toward the window.
Waiting for anyone special?
Anybody with the price?
What's the price?
50.
15, not 50, 15.
My name's Fred. Billy Joe. Where are we going? You live around here, Billy Joe? No. Do you have any folks or anything? No. I'm married. Yeah. Can't go to my place. No. We could go where I work. Fred, you know, like, 15 is to make it in the car, man. How about 25, then? Okay. 25. But now...
So the mortician pulls out a big wad of bills at him, peels out $25 and gives it to the prostitute.
Wow. Huh.
got a mortician and the prostitute showing up at the mortuary. And I'm going to warn you, folks, this is a real sick scene. I mean, I've done some sick scenes on the Haunted Shack Theater, but this might be one of the sicker ones. So enjoy. Or turn it, tune it out if you can't handle it.
What kind of place is this?
This is my office. I'm a veterinarian.
Oh.
Let me help you with your clothes.
Never mind. I can do it myself. Can I have some lights?
I prefer it this way.
It's dirty out there.
Yes.
Yeah, married men. What are you doing for if you're ashamed of it, huh? I'm not ashamed of it.
Get up on the table.
So the prostitute's totally naked right now. The guy tells him to get on the gurney.
Oh, Christ, this thing is cold. How can you get your rocks off on this thing?
Lie down. If you don't mind.
Mind? I'm freezing my ass off. Oh, baby, we need all kinds. Well, man, whatever your thing is. But you got to drive me back afterwards.
I will. I will.
Then the mortician straps this guy to the table.
I will. Please.
What are you doing? Hey, you gotta be crazy. Stop it. Stop it. Listen, this isn't my scene, man. I can scream the house down. You know, you've got the wrong number. What's that for? Don't stick me. Come on, please. Ow! Ouch! Cut it out. Cut it out! Help! Help! Help!
So now the mortician is going to embalm this guy alive. He's got the tubes running into his arms, and he's hooking him up to the embalming machine.
What's that for? No! Don't! Ow! Ow! You're not kidding! He's not kidding! You're a maniac! Help! Help! Oh, God. 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 I'm sorry. I don't want to die. Please. Please! Please!
Now the embalming fluid's about to start running through his veins, and I imagine this would burn considerably.
I'll do anything. 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 Whatever you're doing. Ah! Ah! Don't cut me! Don't cut me! No! Ah! 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 No! No! Oh! Oh, my blood! My blood! Ah! 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 Ooh! 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 Ooh!
Now he goes over to the embalming fluid machine and he turns on the pumps and starts pumping into his veins.
Hold it, fellas. I don't move.
Linda Lovelace has a certain talent. Marilyn Chambers has tried a thing or two. But take it from me, the Tigress. Those ladies are strictly amateurs. Pleasure is my business, honey, and those two just aren't in my tax bracket. Don't be afraid to visit me and let me get my licks in. We'll let it all hang out.
The Tigress, rated R. No one under 17 admitted without parents. I used to work in Chicago in a department store. I used to work in Chicago. Well, I did, but I don't anymore. 'Cause a gal came in for some groceries. What kind, I asked her at the door. Butter, she said, so butter I did, and I don't work there no more. That's good, clean butter, like in 90 cents a pound. Well, you know that, don't you? I used to work in Chicago in the department store. I used to work in Chicago. Well, I did, but I don't anymore. 'Cause a gal came in for some fowl one day. What kind, I asked her at the door. A goose, she said, so a goose she got, and I don't work there, no. You can say that. That's a good clean goose, like a naked duck, you know, like a Christmas goose. I used to work in Chicago in the department. Now you just leave me alone, I know what I'm doing here. Well, I did, but I don't anymore. 'Cause a gal came in for a hat one day. What kind, I asked her at the door. Felt, she said, so felt she got, and I don't work. That's a good Stetson felt hat that I give her. You can say that now, Bill, leave me alone. I used to work in Chicago in the department store. I used to work in Chicago. Well, I did, but I don't anymore. 'Cause a Swedish gal came in for a coat. What kind, I asked her at the door. A yumper, she said. Yumper? You can say yumper. That's a little short coat like a Mackinaw, you know. Swedish coat. Why, you double umper, yumper. I used to work in Chicago in the department store. I used to work in Chicago. Well, I did, but I don't anymore. 'Cause a gal came into the music store. And what for, I asked at the door. Record, she said. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, you'll have to turn this thing over to get the rest of the record. It's on the other side.
Smoke, don't be so nasty this time. Sing one for the kids, huh?
For the kids, huh?
The kids, yeah.
They're not my kids. Why in the devil should I sing to them? Well, I will anyhow. Here's a good one for kids. I used to work in Chicago. I did, but I don't anymore. 'Cause a gal came in for some candy. What kind, I asked her at the door. Kisses, she said, so kiss her I did. See there, even the kids don't laugh when they're clean. Now you get out of the way there, Bill. I know what these folks want. I used to work in Chicago in the department store. I used to work in Chicago. Well, I did, but I don't anymore. 'Cause a gal came in for a watch one day. What kind, I asked her at the door. A Gruen, she said, out. So a Waltham she got, and I don't work there no more. Scared you, didn't I? Thought I was going to say something else. You heard about the little boy that wanted to watch for Christmas, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Well, we let him. I used to work in Chicago. Well, I did, but I don't anymore. 'Cause a gal came in for a girdle. What kind, I asked her at the door. Rubber, she said, so rubber I did, and I don't work there no more. Gal over yonder laughs like she's got one on. I used to work in Chicago in the department store. I used to work in Chicago. Well, I did, but I don't anymore. 'Cause a gal came in for some stockings. What kind, I asked her at the door. Hose, she said, so nylon she got, and I don't work there no more. Well, here we go. I used to work in Chicago in the department store. I used to work in Chicago. Well, I did, but I don't anymore. 'Cause a gal came in for a cake one day. What kind, I asked her at the door. A layer, she said.
Now, just a cup, take a minute, Mr. Rogers. I'm leaving if you say that.
Oh, you can say that, Bill.
That's you can't.
You can't? Well, I don't work here no more.
Who's that? Looking for someone? Who's there? Let's get together for that special tingle.
You're talking about girl homo.
Uh-huh. Life can be so rewarding.
Jump over the wall and I'll wax your bikini line.
Looking for someone?
She likes my voice.
Girl homo.
I've been told I sound like Petula Clark.
The lights are much brighter there. You can forget all your troubles.
Petula Clark, Petula Clark, Petula Clark.
Forget all your cares and go,
go,
go.
Down on me.
I want you to do something for me.
Uh-huh.
Make me scream like a scalded puppy.
Uh-huh. What else?
Spread my delicious ass.
Uh-huh. What else?
Bite off my tongue and swallow it.
I can tell you've never had a lucky spasm. Hey!
I'm a schoolgirl. Teach me, teach me.
How's about a cup of coffee? Here's a cup of our coffee. You've never tasted more delicious coffee. Fresh brewed, hot and satisfying.
It isn't the cough that carries you off. It's the coffin they carry you off in.
All right, you're listening to the Hunted Shack Theater Show, episode number 7. My name's Uncle Yaya. And now let's cut to Lindsay. She's the star of our movie. And she shows up at a funeral. She sits in the back, does her usual thing, waits for everybody to leave. And then once everyone's gone, Lindsay walks up to the casket, pulls back her veil, and bends down to start kissing the corpse. Only this time she starts to caress the face, and the nose bends because it's not real, it's mortician's putty. And this just scares her, and she runs. But anyway, let's listen to it. Lindsay turns around to run out of the chapel and she runs into Lyle Wagner standing there.
Hey, hey, take it easy now.
Oh, you startled me.
I'm sorry. I'm Bobby's brother, Alex.
All right, let me tell you real quick. Lyle Wagner, if you don't know who he is, well, in 1972 and 3, when this thing was made, he was considered like every American woman's fantasy. He was one of the first male models to appear nude in the centerfold for Playgirl magazine. So, but anyway, he was on the Carol Burnett show. The comedian Carol Burnett, he was on that show a whole bunch, but anyway, so he's supposed to be just like this real good-looking guy, and if, like, he can't break Lindsay from necrophilia, then who can, you know what I mean? That's true. I think that's what he represents in this story. Anyway, let's get back to the scene.
I'm Bobby's brother, Alex. Oh, I didn't want the body shown, but Mother insisted on it. I know it doesn't look much like him, but I think they did a pretty good job. Considering how badly...
Please, I must go.
Are you sure you're all right?
Yes, I'm fine. But I must go.
But I don't even know your name. Please.
Lindsay. Excuse me.
So Lyle Wagner is definitely interested in Lindsay, and she kind of likes him, and they're going to get into a relationship, but I might have to skip over some of that because we're running out of time. I want to wrap this thing up. Lindsay comes home, and she finds in her mailbox a letter from the creepy mortician, and the note says, quote, "Dear Miss Finch, we who share your passions and needs will meet tomorrow evening at 11:30. Our subject is particularly attractive. Bring a friend if you feel you would be more at ease on your first visit. In friendship, Fred McSweeney." So the next day, Lindsay gets in her car, and she drives over to the mortuary, and she shows up. It's this beautiful old mortuary, probably built in the 30s or something. But she starts wandering around it, and nobody's there. And she wanders through a whole room of coffins and everything. And she finally wanders down through the halls, goes down into this room, and there is the creepy mortician, with a whole group of people, and they're all around, they're all naked, and they're all standing around as a corpse, and then they come on over, and she didn't want to do it, she freaks out. runs away. She runs down the hall. She drops her purse, and the creepy mortician is just like, oh, goddamn, to the rest of the crowd. He puts on a shirt and goes, I'll go get her. And he goes, follows her.
Wait.
Oh, let me go.
Quiet. What's wrong with you? What did you expect? Come back inside.
No, I can't go inside.
Be quiet. It's all right. I understand.
No,
it's too public. You mustn't let that upset you. A novice can't be expected to appreciate total involvement. Perhaps I can arrange a more private time in the future. Drop your purse.
No, I have keys in the car.
Miss Finch, I'm sure it isn't necessary to remind you to keep our little secret.
Open the door and...
Hi, I'm a
French pussycat, a very special kind of woman, curious about life and what makes living so much fun. Men, they can get you in all kinds of trouble, and I love it. If you want to see the kind of trouble I'm talking about, come see my story. Come see French Pussycat. You're gonna love it. Rated R.
It was Lisa's idea to spend the last few nights of our swinging European vacation in a haunted medieval castle. We'd made it together practically everywhere else, so I figured, why not? A close-up look at the grim old place almost changed our minds. We wondered just what kind of a scene that strange little travel agent in Munich had booked us into.
So we see the couple and they come to this castle and they're met by a Countess Dominova, who's played by a woman named Holly Woodstar. So her first name's Holly and her last name's Woodstar.
The room clerk wasn't exactly Mr. Hospitality. He ushered us into a big, gloomy hall and told us to wait for the Countess. Then he bugged off somewhere with our bags.
The several shots of the couple and they're pointing at things on the walls and everything.
Lisa and I hadn't expected any luxury hotel, but this place was downright creepy. It isn't every home that has an open coffin in the living room. And some of the other furnishings didn't exactly inspire confidence. Lisa wondered about that ugly-looking cross with the leather straps. We figured that these Europeans were really laying it on heavy for the tourist trade. But we were getting a little nervous. Finally, the Countess made her entrance. She was right out of one of those late-night TV vampire movies.
This is a Hollywood star. She shows up. She don't really look like a vampire or a lunamore. She just looks kind of like a hippie witch woman.
She introduced herself as the Countess Dominova and asked why we had chosen her castle. We told her it was just for a new thrill and tried to make a joke out of it. She didn't have much of a sense of humor, though. She told us how during a more unenlightened age, some of her own ancestors had been burned to death in this very room for witchcraft. We thought the travel agent had invented those stories to scare up business. I wasn't overjoyed at the rather unwholesome interest she was showing toward Lisa. The Countess suggested that we must be tired from our journey and brought the interview to an end. She instructed old Igor to show us to our room.
So Lisa's this real cute girl, and she's played by an actress named Bambi Allen, who died only 2 years after this movie was made. And somewhere I was reading that her death was caused because of a silicone injection she had to make her breasts larger. But she's got a hell of a resume with her. She was in the Acid Eaters and Satan Sadist, one of the greatest movies ever made. Hell's Bloody Devils, Angels Die Hard, Terror at Orgy Castle, and The Bad Bunch.
If we'd only known what lay ahead for us, we would have split from that moldy place right away. Flickering candles and damp corridors.
Walk upstairs to the room this Igor guy's showing him around the place.
As it turned out, the room wasn't bad. It had plenty of atmosphere. Lisa fell in love with the antique furnishings, especially the old bed. It did sort of take our minds off the Countess and her gruesome buddy. Lisa had always dreamed of making it in the castle, and the old stones really turned her on.
So I think our narrator's name is Bill, and I think he's played by a fella named William Howard, who's not really in a whole lot of stuff. So anyway, Bill and Lisa are in the room, and they get naked, and they start having sex. And this is back in the day when people used to have pubic hair, so you know, I think it's kind of weird now everyone is all shaved up and everything. But Lisa and Bill start going at it. She starts going on top of him, and they start really going at it, and finally they pass out, and she falls asleep, and Bill wakes up.
As we drifted off to sleep, I had a strange feeling that we hadn't been alone in that room. I just couldn't seem to sleep well that night. Sometime after midnight, I woke up. Maybe reading a little would help put me under. Would you believe it? The only book I'd brought was a horror story about vampires in an old castle. Just the thing to steady my nerves.
So Bill pulls out his book and starts reading it, and Lisa's sleeping next to him.
Well, Dracula's daughter was just getting ready to suck on something when I started hearing things. ¶¶ I had the feeling that something weird was going on in this old stone mausoleum. And naturally, I was curious.
So Bill puts on his shirt and his pants, no underwear, of course, and he grabs a candle and he walks out of the room into the hallway and he starts creeping around the castle, kind of exploring everything. And he walks out to the big main room, and there he sees something.
It was the Countess, in the middle of some freaky kind of ceremony.
Front of the Countess are lying down before him are two beautiful naked girls. So and the Countess takes a bowl of some kind of cream and approaches down to him.
She had a couple of companions who didn't seem to worry much about the drafts in that clammy hall.
She starts rubbing cream all over the breasts of the two naked girls.
I had a feeling that whatever was going on, it wasn't for the eyes of tourists.
Is hiding on the stairs and he's watching all of this.
I was about to witness the most bizarre sight I have ever seen in my life.
To a man. He's magic. He turns into a man. And he starts going down and starts kissing the girls. And he goes down on one of them and starts giving one of the girls oral sex. And the other one is going down on him. And so they're having a three-way. And Bill's on the staircase watching the whole thing going on.
The Countess had turned herself into a count in order to enjoy her two lady friends.
So they are all three going at it, and then suddenly the count, do we call him the count or the countess at this point? I'm not sure, but he's a guy, but he's still got the Countess's makeup on. All of a sudden, he stops, and he looks up to the stairs and stares straight at Bill. Oh, it is kind of a creepy scene for an adult movie.
I've got to admit that this circus was turning me on more than a little. Suddenly, they interrupted their fun and games, as if they sensed my presence. I have never seen such evil on a human face. Believe me, I split back to my room in a cold sweat.
So Bill runs upstairs and takes off all his clothes and jumps back into bed with Lisa, who's still sleeping. Meanwhile, downstairs, Countess Dominova takes this beautiful blonde and she puts her in a coffin, and then she starts doing some incantations, and the blonde disappears and reappears in the mirror in Lisa and Bill's room. And she's totally naked. Yes, the sex show, yeah, folks.
I wouldn't have gotten to sleep at all if I'd known what revenge the Countess and her playmates were cooking up for my spying. I couldn't believe my eyes. She came right through the mirror.
So this blonde girl comes walking through the mirror, and she's wearing a black cape, and that's all she's wearing. And she's got this kind of reed from a branch or something. She walks over and she touches it on Lisa's head, and I guess this means that Lisa won't wake up. And then she walks over to Bill, takes off her robe, and starts going down on him.
That vampire book had mentioned a female demon known as a succubus who appeared in the night to sap the strength of her male victim. Man, what a crazy dream I was having.
So Lisa's still sleeping while all this is going on, and then all of a sudden in the mirror, a redhead shows up, and she's just wearing a cape. And she walks over while the one blonde is going down on Bill, and she starts kissing Bill on the mouth, and Lisa sleeps through the whole thing.
Oh, no. Not another one.
Morning, and Bill is just having trouble getting out of bed, and Lisa wakes up all chipper.
When morning finally rolled around, I could hardly get out of bed. Lisa was romantic and ready to go again, but I just couldn't get my enthusiasm or anything else up. I was just plain beat. Igor, his usual cheerful self, wished us a sinister good morning. Daylight didn't make the castle any more cheerful. There wasn't a living soul around the place. Maybe they just slept late. Or maybe they just weren't living. Lovely decorations, which reminded me that Igor had mentioned there was to be a costume party that night.
So now we cut to later, and everybody's on the banquet table, and there's a naked girl dancing around, and people are wearing masks and things like that, and everyone's drinking grog mugs, and they're at a big old wooden table. It looks like a lot of fun. And Bill and Lisa come down, and they look a little bit creeped out by the whole scene, but they're cool with it. They come down, they sit down at the table.
The festivities were well underway by the time we came down from our room. We took our places rather reluctantly. The Countess had certainly assembled a freaky collection of friends. Or were they, too, guests in her castle? This group was more like a medieval banquet painting than a modern party. She
she insisted we drink some of the strange brew that they all seemed to be getting high on. Igor brought in the main course, served castle style. No forks, no plates, no napkins. That didn't bother the rest of the mob. They pitched in like they hadn't eaten for a month. I guess we were just a little too civilized. One chick really started to get with it. She was picked as the victim for some bizarre dinner table entertainment. What a sick floor show.
So now this little gal is all strapped up to the big X, and the guys take a rat and they put it in a bowl and they press the bowl up against her stomach. Oh boy. This is the floor show for the feast, where they're eating castle style.
The rat was trying to chew its way from that heated brass bowl, and the only way out was through her flesh. Lisa and I were completely turned off.
All right, well, we're going to stop here at Terror at Orgy Castle. And let's just, you're going to have to watch the rest of the movie to find out what happens with this couple in this creepy, sexy castle. All right, now I got this thing off of something weird, and everything off something weird quality-wise always looks very good as far as the picture quality and everything. And this is part of a triple feature that also has a movie called Evil Come, Evil Go, and The Hand of Pleasure. So it's a shock-a-rama sex and horror diabolical double feature that only a company like Something Weird will put out. I love Something Weird because, like I said before, everything they do is something weird. Wow. Now I'm going to cuddle up here with Maria Alchoa. We're going to spoon. Hi, Maria. We're spooning right now. Oh, it's so cute.
Be with us next Saturday night at 11:15 for another action-packed thriller on Shock